Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell with us this morning. She's with the Fairy Godmother Project. That is going to be our focus. We're going to talk about the good work of the Fairy Godmother Project in the area and how it helps families dealing with pediatric cancer and also the Community Give tomorrow. Andy, good to see you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You have brought a couple of guests, which we're going to meet in just a second. I'll have you introduce them and get started with them. But before we get going, as we get started here, first of all, just talk about the Fairy Godmother Project and what you do.
Okay. Well, we support families in our community who have children battling pediatric cancer. Our goal is to alleviate their parents' day-to-day stress so that they can better take care of their children. We do that by providing support from moment of contact with them, which sometimes is right at the beginning of treatment, sometimes it's a little bit later, all the way throughout their journey. Each family is assigned what we call our lead volunteers. Some of our moms have been known to call them their fairy godmothers, and those people just take care of them. They check in with them weekly. They tell them when their house will be cleaned, when the lawn will be done. They make sure that they receive the gift cards on time, and they just make sure that they're cared for. It's sort of designed to be an outside person to support them that isn't dealing with the grief of the change in life of the child being diagnosed. So we try to give them someone who can grow to be a friend, but isn't dealing with their own stuff in relation to the child's diagnosis. And then in addition, as time has gone on, last year we implemented a new program in honor of a little girl named Lily that supports families at end of life. Her mom, who is here with me today, was very intentional in inviting me to be part of her family's experience when her daughter was put into hospice. And so I got to see what that looks like. And I got to see how much support is really needed for a family at that time. And Lily passed away on January 23rd. It was a Friday. And I had a board meeting on Wednesday. And by Wednesday, I had developed a program and presented it to my board. Remarkably, they agreed that it obviously is what we should be doing, and especially in honor of Lily. So we now have the Lily Fund, which funds that part of our programming.
Lily's mom, like you say, is here. Melanie Noakes is here. Melanie, good morning. Thanks you for coming. When did you decide that you wanted to have Andy part of Lily's last few days?
We were actually on our way back from a clinical trial in Pittsburgh, and we had gotten the news that there was no further treatment options for our daughter. So I took it upon myself to think, I really want to include Andy in this new adventure that we're going, this new journey, this course that unfortunately we didn't want to go on. But I knew that if I invited her to be a part of our lives in this, unfortunate course, we just knew that maybe we could do something for the future families.
Wow, Andy, I'm sure you felt, I can't imagine the emotions you felt that as you went into that.
Yeah, well, Melanie asked me to go with them to an appointment. And Lily was the sassiest child in the world. She refused to speak to me the whole drive to D.C. I mean, she kept calling me her mom's annoying friend every time I turned to talk to her. And so we sat, I was like, I will get this kid to like me, but I realized it might be completely impossible. So by the time we got up to D.C. and her appointment, whatever time her appointment was, we ended up waiting almost 2 hours for her appointment. And I finally got her to like me. I told her stories about she had a Curious George, and I told her stories about Curious George, and we ended up passing it back and forth and telling each other stories that started with Once Upon a Time. And we did that for, my gosh, I don't even know how long. Finally had the appointment, and during the appointment, the doctors told them that there weren't any other options. And then on our drive home, it's funny, Lily's dad asked me to please stop telling Lily stories. And I said, it's all about Lily. I don't care. I'm going to continue to tell her stories. I was driving him crazy because they were like 2 seconds long. And then Melanie and I just talked a lot about it. I mean, we spent those last, that was in September, and we spent from September until January talking about the importance of making those last months so special for her. And we had talked and talked and talked about what she wanted her celebration of life to be and what she wanted the eulogy to be. And we, after Lily passed, one day I said to Melanie, I said, okay, you know, it's time for you to, we've got to work on the eulogy. And she said, oh, right. So I've decided I can't do that. And you're going to need to. And then when it was time to write the obituary, same thing. Oh, I need you to do that. I said, okay, absolutely, I can do that. Because she had welcomed me into their lives, I always say I was sort of like a fly on the wall. I got to observe what was happening. I got to see, I mean, every time someone says, well, I couldn't do that, I always say it was one of the hardest things I will ever experience. But I saw more love in those moments, in those days leading up to Lily's death. And, I mean, the quote, with great grief comes great love, is so true. I mean, I witnessed things in their home that will stay with me forever. And Melanie always sort of apologizes for having me be there, you know, when Lily started taking her last breaths. But it was a gift to me to see that, to see the love that her grandmother and her parents had for her. It was unbelievable.
Well, and the fact you got to see that when you talked about, that, you know, when she called you, you know, my mom's annoying friend. when my son was diagnosed, and a lot of people came to see him at MCV who were friends of ours, and some of them came long distances, and he didn't want anybody. And people would come, and he just put the sheet over his head and say, you know, go away.
I like him. Yeah, that sounds like Lily.
And you do see in those moments that kids are kids.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you can't always control things. And even kids with cancer, mm-hmm. they're going through a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's interesting. Linnell Kapanos is also here with us this morning. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. And Andy has brought you along. Talk a little bit about your story.
My oldest daughter, Lauren, was diagnosed with leukemia also in January 2011. And I think we were the first family to start with the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy and Stephanie Johnson and were are friends of mine. And Lauren was diagnosed at the same time. She was milling about starting the project, I think.
Yeah.
And then it just was coincidence. So we became the first family. And so Lauren was in the hospital for 45 days at the beginning. And then continued treatment for 2 years, and it was very hard. I always say it went by fast, but during the treatment, it was very slow.
Yeah.
So the Fairy Godmother Project was instrumental in helping us get through, and as well as our friends and family. But I think I can touch on, for the pediatric cancer community, that you do need a lot of support, but mostly my comments are personal, is that I just know my family and myself, I definitely, you know, we needed a lot of support. We had our treatment in Fairfax at Inova, and, you know, it's a long drive, especially in traffic, up and down lovely 95.
No, it's an everyday
and,
kind of thing.
Yeah, navigating HOV, you know, before and after treatment and things like that. So they were wonderful support, and it was nice knowing somebody had her back, and it was more than nice. I mean, it was just so nice knowing that was there unconditionally. And the coming home after treatment, coming home to knowing that there was a meal there was just it's an understatement to say that it was a huge weight lifted off our shoulders, that I didn't have to just worry about that part alone, just that little thing. But it made a huge, huge difference, especially after rush hour on the way home from treatment. That was horrible.
There's
so many horrible parts to pediatric cancer. That's just one minor thing. But They were an immense support. So they provided, as Andy mentioned at the beginning, they provided the lawn care and house cleanings and meals. And they've even came in and they helped organize my freezers.
That was fun. Yeah, I remember saying, like, yeah, gosh, I hope my husband doesn't find out because our freezer is pretty unorganized. Yeah, we would come in and clean and do whatever you needed. It was great. Well, and you let us in, and that's a big piece of it. You know, that's a huge part of what we do is the families have to be willing to let us in.
Yeah. And that was hard.
4 years.
Yeah.
Right. That was hard to say, okay, yeah, I'll take the help. Or, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, I need the help. Yeah.
We will continue on this morning. It's the Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning. We're also going to talk about the Community Give. That is the big event, and it is here tomorrow where you can get involved with the Community Give, and we'll talk about that in relation to the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy McConnell here, Linnell Kapanos, and Melanie Noakes. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
The Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning, and the Community Give that we're going to talk about as we go along this morning, that takes place tomorrow. Andy McConnell here from the Fairy Godmother Project, along with Melanie Noakes and Linnell Kapanos. They are both parents that have dealt with the Fairy Godmother Project. Melanie, in all cases, I think with everybody, when pediatric cancer comes along, it comes out of the blue. I know in my case that there was never any indication, and you just looked at, in my son's case, he was tired all the time, and I just thought, go to bed earlier. Right. And all of a sudden, and what struck me was as we kept going to doctor's appointments, all these little things kept getting taken away. You know, all of a sudden one day I realized we're going to start, if they don't find something soon, then we're going to find something big.
Right. I think it took us about 2-3 months of just constantly going to the doctor's office or pediatrician and following up and not getting the results we wanted, going to the hospitals. And it wasn't until about 3 months later, we went to Children's and she just continued to get worse. I mean, she was throwing up every day, and she had everything but seizures for her to have brain cancer, so it was really hard to diagnose, so I can understand that. But yeah, we went to Children's in DC, and they were able to diagnose her within 12 hours correctly, and then within that week she had a 13-hour surgery, which we ended up being in Children's for about 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Linnell, what was your situation like?
It was similar. I don't think it was as much of the pre, but there was definitely a couple of doctor's visits where I was like, she doesn't look good. You know, I always describe, well, actually thinking back, I describe it, she had like bouts of paleness, but she would bounce back, and she'd be pale and just not feeling good, and she'd bounce back. And then I think like 2 or 3 months before she was actually diagnosed, she was diagnosed in January 2011, but 2 or 3 months before, she started being grumpy at school, and it just wasn't like her. And she was having trouble walking. Mommy, I'm tired. My legs hurt. I can't walk. She didn't have a lot of bruises, which is one of the signs of leukemia. She didn't have a lot of bruises, but definitely pale and tired and couldn't walk. And then it got worse, and we did go to the doctors, and they had said, it's probably a virus. If it doesn't clear up, come back. So it didn't clear up, and we went back, and they did blood work, and it was, she was diagnosed as leukemia, which was a very difficult, very, very difficult day.
Yeah.
I remember, collapsing on the floor in the doctor's office.
It, and it just, everything kind of went to a Charlie Brown. You just hear that want, want. Kind of like, what?
Yeah. It's so much to absorb, maybe as you remember.
It's exactly.
Yeah, it was a lot to absorb.
You know, like you say, that particular day, I'll never forget it. It just seemed, you just want everything to stop. And in my case, I remember being a day after I had found out he'd been diagnosed, meeting the doctor in Richmond, and you just kept thinking this, sitting in the office and thinking, this can't be happening.
Right.
What are we? I just want to take him home and get him ready for school tomorrow.
I remember a couple of days after, I was still like, hope like, oh, maybe the tests are wrong, because that we did local local blood work, and then locally she was diagnosed with leukemia, but it wasn't, you know, defined which kind, and we had to get to the hospital right away, and they said you need to drive her. They're waiting for you at Fairfax. If I call an ambulance, which I should, they'll take you to Mary Washington, and they don't have services. So we drove her to Fairfax, but Fairfax Hospital still had to do their own blood work and all that. So I was still hoping for maybe it'll say something different. Maybe mm-hmm. it won't be right. So
as naive as it sounds, you do feel like how this can't happen to us. We do everything right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So there was still in that moment, there was like a glimmer of hope, you know, that something was different, but it wasn't.
No. And then life changes. Because just like Melanie, you mentioned, and in your case, you were in the hospital for did you say 9 months?
Yeah.
Long time.
But yeah, everything, no matter what, everything changes. And Andy, that's where you come in, because when I met you a year ago and you told me about some of the services, I kept saying over and over to you, oh, that's, you know, I wish we had had something like that. I wish we had something like that, because at the time that my family was dealing with things we didn't around here.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we've talked about previously is friends and family do help, but, you know, people get back into their own lives. Mm-hmm. No fault of their own. It's just life. And they start to have their own crisis, or they start to have their own change in their family or whatever it is. So they fall out. They go back to their life. They look at these families and they go, oh, they seem to have a grip. Oh, yeah, I mean, Melanie, she's so strong. Oh, Linnell, she's got it. But they don't realize that what moms do, and dads too, but moms, we put on this front that we're strong, we've got this, we can do it, oh, I'm so strong. And then everyone starts to think, oh my gosh, she's so strong, she doesn't need my help. So we are like, baloney, you don't need our help. We're here and we're giving you the help. So we just do it, you know, and keep doing it. And I think that's what makes us unique in terms of like organizations, is we show up in the beginning, we stick it out, whereas lots of times organizations do lots of great activities and things, but we're a constant, which I kind of like to think that's what makes us unique, is that we're a constant for the family.
Oh, you do, because when you explained and when you talked about cleaning people's houses, that was one of the first things someone did for us, and it was just, because I remember coming home and all of a sudden everything, to walk in the house and see everything clean mm-hmm. after you've been in a hospital setting for so many hours or days, it was just really nice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the beginning, people do deal with that kind of stuff. Friends do it,
right? But it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't sustain.
Right. Well, when you're looking at, I mean, how many years were you guys dealing with cancer with Lily?
It came to be a total of 6 years.
Yeah,
we didn't come for help until year four.
Yeah.
Right. When we knew, okay, this is, we're getting down to that point where, okay, we're, you know, any time we had was just borrowed time.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of times, you know, when it, like, if a recurrence happens, the family and friends show back up, but the same thing happens again, which is understandable. I mean, I've had my own crisis, and that's what people do. And then they look at you and go, oh, she's got this. You know, and it's like, no, actually, I don't. Should I pretend I don't? I mean, I don't have it. But you do, because you don't have a choice. And you have to, for your kids, you have to look like you've got it and you're strong. But that doesn't mean that on the inside, there isn't relief when you walk into a clean house, or there isn't relief when the gift card shows up in the mail, or there isn't relief when, you know, your lead volunteer calls and just checks in or texts. Like Melanie's would send the kids, she would send knock-knock jokes. And so she did that for 2 years. She sent knock-knock jokes via email for the kids. And just little, you know, just these little things really make a difference.
Yeah, the kids would actually ask. Mm-hmm. Like, what'd Kim say today?
Yeah.
Or can we send her this one? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah. So just little things.
And we had, we had my mother and my mother-in-law would stay with us for periods of time, almost throughout the 2 years. But when Lauren was done with treatment after the 2 years, I mean, there was still sick. There was still recovery from chemo. There was still physical therapy and things like that. So even with the help that we did have, like Andy was saying, my mom stayed with us for a very long time, a couple of times, and my mother-in-law came up quite a bit, and the rest of the family helped out too. But the help was that the help from the Fairy Godmother Project was still needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they mowed the lawn and they had Precious Alice would come and cut our hair in our house. That was just not having to coordinate and worry about Lauren's counts and if she was healthy enough to go to the salon to get a haircut, which she didn't need right away because she didn't have hair. But
she did eventually bring her along with you, and then you didn't want to and all that kind of stuff.
And she did eventually. And when Alice first cut her hair, it was very, very special. So it was nice to do that in our house and things.
Well, and Andy, which you said a really important thing when you talked about there are so many groups that do certain things, and everyone does them well, but you really do the day-to-day, because I know groups that we leaned on a lot, like Ask and Special Love, they were more events kind of things, and that's why when you and I first talked, I just thought, wow, this is really the component that's missing for a lot of people, just it's that day to day stuff, just the little stuff, like say the lawn. If I'm having to be in Richmond or Fairfax or Children's Hospital, wherever, I may not be able to do things like do the lawn, or maybe, you know, get the trash out and those kind of things.
Just those little things.
Yeah.
And often our dads start off with, you know, because usually, stereotypically, the lawn is the dad's job. They often are like, oh,
I
need this.
Yeah,
and then
I need
this. Like, hey, change of plans. How soon can you get them here? And we've been so fortunate. Grassroots has done lawn care for us since 2011. They read about us in the paper, and they have been doing it ever since. So it's really nice. They're an amazing group of people. They do it for free.
If someone knows of someone or they're dealing with this right now, how do they get in touch with the Fairy Godmother Project?
They can go on our website, fairygodmotherproject.org, and there's a link at the top that says families, or they can always just send me a text message or an email, and I can get them started.
Okay, fairygodmotherproject.org. When we come back, we're going to get into the community give and the importance of that, and what money given tomorrow to the Fairy Godmother Project can mean long term and can mean for some projects. Andy McConnell here, Linnell Kapanos, and Melanie Noakes on Town Talk this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy McConnell with Fairy Godmother Project here this morning. Fairygodmotherproject.org. If you want to go to the website and see what's going on with that, you may be something that you need, or you know someone in your neighborhood, a friend, someone who's dealing with it. Also, Linnell Kapanos is here along with Melanie Noakes. They are parents who've dealt firsthand with the Fairy Godmother Project. The community give, Andy, is tomorrow. The communitygive.org is the website you want to go to. That and this is a really big day. The goal is $1 million for the area, but it means a lot to the Fairy Godmother Project. You were very successful last year and able to do a lot of things because of that. And I know you've got some, you hope to get to certain levels for tomorrow and to be able to continue to do things.
Yes, absolutely. Last year, our goal had been, I figured we could double what we had done the previous year. So we had raised about $5,000 the year before. And then we thought, okay, we can do 10. And midway through the day last year, I said, okay, we can do 20. And we did. It was a great day. And we came in second, for most donations, most unique donations, second to the YMCA, which was a huge, huge honor in many ways. I mean, they're a really big group, obviously. They have four branches, many employees. And so for us, you know, because we're unique in the sense that most of the families we're serving aren't in a position to donate. So it isn't like, you know, we're tapping into all these families, but they're not donating back at that time because it's not even feasible, and we really wouldn't want them to. I actually get kind of annoyed when I see that a parent donates. I'm like, what did you just do? Like, that's ridiculous. But, you know, our first year, our first donation was from a family who we had done photos of their child, and he had died 2 weeks later. And that was the first donation that came in for us. And I remember thinking, if we get no more donations, I don't care. Like, the fact that this family saw that we were important enough. I mean, she made it like right at midnight. Like, she had made a point of making that donation. It was really powerful. So our goal tomorrow is, I don't know, do I want to say out loud what it is?
Do you want?
I don't know. Well, because then if I don't meet it, then be humiliating. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think it's humiliating.
No, my goal is 30,000 tomorrow.
Okay.
So how we're going to get there, I'm not telling. I'm still not revealing what we're doing. No, I'm just kidding. We're just working really hard in the community, trying to get our name out there more, get more supporters, get people to understand what we do and why it's important. And we're hoping to win some of the prizes. Between 6 and 8 a.m., there's an opportunity to win $2,000. So if you donate to us between 6 and 8 in the morning, those funds automatically go to what we call our family services program, which is pays for household cleaning, gas cards, grocery cards, mm-hmm. meals that we make, financial relief. Excuse me. And then if you donate between 4 and 5 p.m., that goes to our Lily Fund, which is named for Lily, who I can't ever say her name without getting a huge smile on my face, by the way. And what we do with that money is we help families at end of life. The program that I developed, we give the families a $500 gift card. And with that gift card, they can use it for whatever they choose. Many of our families have actually ended up using it for funeral clothes, but it's designed so that if volunteers come into the home while the child's in hospice, no money has to be exchanged if the volunteers are running errands for them. It just was sort of convenient way to do it that I actually started with Melanie's family, and it just became what the program was. And then also we use those funds that we have in that fund to help with the celebration of life, buy the items to be displayed, purchase photos of the child to be displayed at the funeral. And with that program, we also, you know, I work with funeral directors and to try and help them. And then also we do things beyond that. So we memorialize the child in different ways for them, really special ways. We do random act of kindness days. We did sort of a light for Lily Day. And
just on her heavenly birthday, as we called it.
Yeah, heavenly birthday.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. That's a great way to call it. What to call it? I love that. And then we also are trying to do more things. We're trying to bring those parents together and get them to spend some time together because the support is really needed. We aren't therapists, but someday I hope we'll have a therapist. But just that sense of community is really valuable for these families, no matter what stage of the journey they're in. Mm-hmm. So we're really pushing for that. And then from 9 to 11, it goes directly to our financial relief fund, which is within our family services. And what that does is we pay bills directly for our families. And they just give us the bill, they fill out a form, and we pay it to, you know, directly. So,
well, like we said, I mean, what you're doing in this community is just fantastic and fills such a need. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you never know when the three of us never did we choose to be in the situation we were in with our kids, and it comes so suddenly.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think, that even if you never use it yourself or need it, you're going to know somebody, unfortunately, who does.
Yeah.
And you never know yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's so nice. One of the things that I kind of enjoy most about my job is that we're quick. So, for example, a couple weeks ago, one of our friends said, I know this family. The family filled out the form. The child had just been diagnosed within days. They didn't even know what kind of cancer it was yet. Mm-hmm. They knew it was cancerous, but they didn't even know what it was. And that was a Tuesday. The mom filled out the form, got everything in. We had someone cleaning her house Friday. And the mom was so overwhelmed by it. She was like, I don't even know what to do with all these offers to help, because she had never had to ask for help. And we sort of didn't even give her an opportunity to say no. We were like, okay, so this is what we do, and this is how we're doing it, and this is all you need to do to make it happen. And being able to do that is such a relief. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it feels great. And it also is great for our volunteers and for the people involved. So
anytime, any gifts at any time.
Yes, anytime. Any time of the day. Absolutely. And we don't get any big grants. We don't do any. We've been really trying to figure out how to do that. But we're kind of a real itty bitty niche. And so there aren't a lot of grants that fund this little niche. Hmm. Now that we're adding some pieces of our program with the Lily Fund, that does open the door a little bit more to grants, because there is a lot of funding for bereavement, and especially with children. So that's important, but to this point, it hasn't been easy, despite many searches on the Foundation Center, to find big granting, you know, entities that would give us money.
And the fact that you did so well last year, mm-hmm. you were able to add, and it's been exciting. And every time you come in, you have a new idea or something new. But
life gets dull otherwise.
I love watching them grow. We came in at the grassroots at the beginning, and even like right at the beginning of Lauren's treatment, it wasn't Fairy Godmother Project. It was just friends, which was inclusive of Andy and other members of FGP. It was just friends, and then they were, like I said, they were like working on this idea, and they're like, okay, let's go, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I remember the day when Stephanie and was said, okay, going forward, it's going to be FGP. I said, okay, great. You know,
whatever.
And I think part of like at the beginning, it is hard to accept the help. It's hard to say uncle. You know, it's very hard.
It was good for you because you got to ease into it. We didn't have that much to give. You know what I mean? Like in that summer of 2011, we had $250. And Stephanie and I were like, what are we going to do? $250. I mean, we laughed so hard about that so many times. You're like, we can go to the store and we can buy a gift card and we can send it to someone, you know? And we were just, I mean, we were beside ourselves with joy. I mean, we really were. I can still remember walking through Walmart and being like, $250, you know? Yeah. And it's just so different now. Yeah, so different.
So I really love watching them grow. I help them. I like to help when I can. And I it's just amazing watching it grow and, you know, how thoughts turn into action.
Yeah. And she just recently joined our Cancer Parent Advisory Board. So that's added a different dimension, I think, in a lot of ways for you. And we had a wonderful last month. We had this fabulous meeting. But hard for Linnell is she's the only one on the committee, with the exception of one other person, who has a child who survived. It's all other parents. And so we had great discussion last time about one of my other ideas, which is the importance of really looking at survivorship for families. Yeah.
And my husband got to attend that one. So it was good.
That is interesting, Linnell, because that is a whole other thing, because we went through in the early 2000s when we got to know a number of families from around here that were also being treated at MCV. And John was one of the few who then carried on, so many kids still passed away, and it is a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
Too few and far between with our survivors as children.
Yeah.
That is the reality of it.
And then also, recurrence is, I hear recurrence and I panic.
Yes.
Like, as, you know, the executive director, like when I hear those words, I'm like, ugh, mm-hmm. because that's not usually a happy ending.
No. No, they tell you that we're doing the best we can right now, and we know what we're doing. After this, it's just a guess.
Yes.
It's right. What you have with what you have for these kids.
Yeah. It's scary.
It cuts your survivor rate in half when you have a recurrence.
So. Yeah. And then I remember another mom, Jordan's mom, talking about how, and then also the stats aren't quite what you think the stats are, in the sense that they only mark survivorship to a certain point. So like, okay, survivor at 5 years, but if a child gets a recurrence at 5 years and 3 months, they still are in that stat on survivorship. And then, you know, it's just these little things. I mean, I know more about things that I never in a million years thought I would know. And each of those is such a gift to me. Like, I think about that all the time, especially with Lily's family. I mean, that experience completely changed my life. Completely changed who I am as a person. I mean, it changed Fairy Godmother Project. I mean, it's changing lives now. Melanie allowing me in those months.
I should tell about the first time we met then. Sitting on my couch and you're like, oh, I don't get involved with the kids. I'm there for the parents. And I'm like,
and she's like,
you just met our family.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true. But I will say, Melanie and I will go back and forth on this forever, but I will say, for me to be able to keep doing what I'm doing, I can't attach to kids.
Yeah.
Like I did hard with Lily and with Kaylee, because I can't keep, if I'm dealing with a broken heart, I can't support a family. And it was hard for me with Lily. I mean, I loved Lily. I mean, that little pistol, I loved her, you know? And so it was hard to be, I was there for Melanie, but, you know, I'd have to like go home and completely fall apart, but be strong with her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm doing that, you know, we have another child in hospice. If I'm doing that all the time, I'm going to end up in a padded room. So to avoid that, and I, no matter how many times I can look at the good of what we're doing. So, but the funds we used last year, one of the 2-hour window that we won a prize during, we raised money specifically for the Lilly Fund. And so we were able to use those dollars this year for the first time to help a family. So we've had two families this year. Kaylee's family, Kaylee died in January and Ryan died in February. And, Kaylee's family would be like, we're the guinea pigs for the new program. Yeah, and I would think like, oh, God. But knowing that we had that program in place, knowing those funds came from this day of just like mass giving in our community.
Right, was in a year, too.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's... Oh, I know. I mean, Kaylee died 4 days and a year after Lilly. So right there, you know. So we were able to use those funds and help those families pay for the funeral and all those things.
And Andy, what's really been interesting is through Lily's death and Kaylee's death, mm-hmm. I mean, you've been able to introduce those people. I mean, you shared Kaylee with us. Yeah. You brought her in here on, I'll never forget, September 1st now.
No.
That was the day.
That was the day.
That you brought her in and we sat here and talked, and it was just so moving and captivating. But those two stories have been able to be told and you've told and retold, and you've been able to share and help the community, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, one of the things I've learned from these families is, especially after a child passes, they want their child's name said. And what happens is people are scared. And they're like, oh, God, there's Melanie Noakes. Lily died. What do I say? And then they're like anxious and awkward. Yeah, it's so true, though. And then she's like, if one more person looks at me with pity, can't they just look at me as Melanie, you know? And that, like, it's by becoming friends with Melanie, I've learned so much about that. And it makes me better at what I'm doing, but it also makes me able to tell other people. Say that to them. Don't tell me. You know, I was out the other night and I was with Kaylee's mom and I was talking to this friend and he said, oh, well, I remember this and this and this about Kaylee. And I said, well, don't tell me. Tell Leslie. Mm-hmm. Tell her that her daughter made a difference. She made an impact. So what if it makes you a little bit uncomfortable? It's not about you. Like, imagine if your child died and no one said their name ever again. That would be brutal. Yeah. I mean, it's brutal enough as it is, but like to not... Ugh, it just makes me crazy. But anyway.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll wrap this up. The Fairy Godmother Project, our focus this morning, fairygodmotherproject.org. And if you're looking for someone to give to tomorrow, boy, here is what they do in this community. And again, whether you're dealing with pediatric cancer yourself or not, it's just terrific. We'll wrap it up when we come back with Andy, Linnell, and Melanie on News Talk 1230 WFVA. This is Town Talk.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the Fairy Godmother Project this morning, the day before the big community give in the area. The website for the community give is thecommunitygive.org. The Fairy Godmother Project website, if you want to look at more of what they provide, is fairygodmotherproject.org. So, someone wants to give tomorrow to the Fairy Godmother Project, Andy. How? What are the best ways to do that that helps you out?
Well, we made a special URL for it. So it's tinyurl.com/FGPGive16.
Okay.
So easy enough.
Yeah.
It takes you right to our page, and you can donate right there. We are taking our donate button off of our website today because we have gotten a couple of donations in the last few days for $25, and I'm thinking it's just people not understanding that you have to do it through the community foundation.
Yeah.
So we're taking, it's probably already off the website, or it will be by 9, so that people don't make the mistake of donating on our website, because that doesn't count. It has to go through the community foundation. So every donation, and they're keeping track of how many are coming in, and we're really, really, really gunning for coming in first place for most donations. It's not most amount. We don't have enough big backers to do the biggest amount, but we certainly could do the most donations, and that would win us a prize of $10,000 for the day. So that would be, someone said, what would I do with that? I mean, I just get giddy thinking about it. I don't know. I'd get closer to my fundraising goal for the year. It would be wonderful if we could get that. So if you can donate tomorrow, that would be amazing. It would be put to good use. These ladies can attest to that. So
definitely.
I was just going to say, Melanie and Linnell, I mean, you've both seen the Fairy Godmother Project up close. I've just, I have experience with pediatric cancer from years ago, but not the Fairy Godmother Project and being able to use it. And as you've all described this morning, just what they've done and seen it up close. Wow.
Yeah. It's really special. One of the way in addition to providing services, I think, you know, like I mentioned before, I think it was just, it's fabulous just knowing that there's, in the community, there's an entity that just has your back, you know, and also them, just their existence alone is a liaison to the community, you right. know, just for support or, hey, this is happening here, you know, this is here, this happens, and right. be aware.
Yeah, and that's been something that I've really worked hard on. And for a while, I was like, I don't even know if this is really my job, but it is. Advocating for the families and, you know, mm-hmm. working with other organizations, working with the hospital to make the emergency room experience better. You know, just doing anything I can, because the reality is when they're in the throes of it, they don't have time to be an advocate for pediatric cancer as a whole. They only can be for their child. Someone has to be for their child because it isn't an easy process. And so as an organization, if we can be an advocate for pediatric cancer as a whole within our community, then we're really going to make a pretty powerful difference, I think. And it's looking back, we've really changed the awareness locally for pediatric cancer in general, but it's still not good enough, you know.
I think I was just talking to Linnell, too, as we were breaking. I was saying, you know, the hardest part being a parent is and taking care of your child is you want to be able to do that for them. That's your job. And being able to ask for help is so much harder, and mm-hmm. getting people involved, especially.
Yeah.
But Fairy Godmother Project made it easier for me to just say, okay, I don't have to worry about this, and I shouldn't have to. This gives me more time to take care of my child and do what I want to do, which is be there for my family.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. Linnell, I know in your case with Lauren, you never, even after treatment ends, you worry when they start talking about my legs hurt or I'm tired, and all of a sudden, all kinds of, you just remember.
Yeah, I think some people might think I worry too much, but yeah, you do. It's constant worry.
But I think it's okay.
It is. It's constant worry.
I mean, that's what moms do in general. I mean, I worry about things like, is the homework done? I mean, you're worrying about a lot bigger things, you know? And so anyone who thinks you worry too much, well, poo-poo. You try being a parent. Well, I mean, really, you try being a parent who has a child yeah. survive cancer. Yeah. And then you live the rest of your life with unknown. And that's reality. You're
like
always
you're waiting
for the, yep, yeah, the shoe to drop.
Waiting.
I remember Kaylee saying that after she survived the first cancer, she spent her time wondering when it was going to happen.
You do.
And you know that. You're
you
a cancer survivor.
Exactly.
It's just how it is. And if we can do something for that piece, you know, and try and support those families, that's the next thing that we're going to be doing, survivorship.
Just make it a little easier, too, yeah. you know, because scan anxiety is real.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Every time you wait for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lauren just had another six-month checkup. And it was wonderful, beautiful, all great numbers. You know, she's doing great. But the night before, I was a wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Andy, we're running out of time here,
oh, yeah,
so I
yeah.
want to give you a chance to, again,
For tomorrow.
Yes. Community give.
Please donate $25 or more. tinyurl.com/FGPGive16.
And so. It's the Fairy Godmother Project. If you want to today, look it up and pass it on to others and have them check out FairyGodmotherProject.org. FairyGodmotherProject.org. Well, now, Kapanos here, Melanie Noakes. Thank you both for coming in and sharing
yeah,
your
thanks
stories.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And for,
thank you for having us.
And talking about your kids and for Melanie, for just Lily, how you've shared her.
Yeah,
and,
what a gift.
And
yeah.
Andy, always good to see you.
Good
and
see you.
We'll continue to talk in the months ahead about the Fairy Godmother Project.
Great.
But good luck tomorrow.
You better donate,
give.
Ted.
The communitygive.org. It's
all right.
The Community Give all day tomorrow.
Great.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I'm Bob Sizemore, retired.